Our New Testament lesson this morning is the well-known parable of the talents as told by Matthew. You'll recall that the master in the story gives his slaves talents. A talent was a unit of money, not a skill or ability, as the word later came to mean in English, because of this very parable. In fact, a talent was quite a large sum of money. In Luke's telling of the parable, the slaves receive only minas. A talent was worth 60 times a mina. In today's dollars, the three slaves in Matthew's version receive the equivalent of $1 million, $500,000, and about $250,000. So in Matthew's telling, even the one talent slave is entrusted with a very, very large sum. So think about this as you hear once again the parable of the talents from Matthew 25. For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master replied, You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. For this worthless slave, as for this one, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is the word of the Lord. Well, if this parable is about anything, it's about taking risks. And in that spirit, I'm going to go out on a limb this morning and deliver a very quirky sermon. It's written in blank verse. It's titled Athens self-storage. You can drive down the one block dead-end street to the address 170 Security Circle and find the office for Athens self-storage. There, a pleasant woman will sell you space in a beige, corrugated metal building located not far away in the parking lot between the Kroger and a veterinarian clinic. It looks like a long expanse of row houses, only these 78 storage units are one story, windowless, crypt-like, with a padlock affixed to each identical door and a number plate over each lintel. I often wonder about the Athens selves stored there. Are they shut up in wooden crates and crammed in Rubbermaid totes? Or can they at least walk around their quarters and perhaps pick up a kazoo and play at night? Or fold paper airplanes to launch? They remain behind their numbered doors like chocolate candies hidden behind the doors of an advent calendar, waiting to be released and relished. But these advent selves have waited not days or weeks, but years. What happened? Why are they here? Mostly they are stashed away by their owners at about the age of reason, or maybe at puberty, perhaps later. Their owners put them in storage whenever self-consciousness outweighs childhood, when fear bullies freedom. One Athens self stored in Unit 27 is a four-year-old boy who dropped to his knees in the middle of a soccer game, ignoring the adult cries of "kick the ball," and yelled for his teammates to come and see a very cool caterpillar, which they did, while the opponents scored and parents scorned. However, his unstored self is too jaded for wonder anymore, too rushed to consider a holy distraction. The world for him is mundane. He strides by burning bushes, and in his peripheral vision sees only gas logs. He makes the goal, but is losing the game. The four-year-old stored wunderkind is long forgotten. Another Athens self is locked away in number 53. It's a toddler who once lunged out of her mother's startled arms into those of a drunk standing by the cash register, the man in a ragged suit who had mugged at the little girl across the restaurant and obnoxiously shouted and clapped patty cake and mimed peekaboo for her, this stubbly, bearded stranger who found himself suddenly embraced by this innocent child who laid her head on his shoulder. Such kindness he had not known in decades. That child of God who did not judge, remains in storage. While the girl grew up and learned, unconsciously of course, to size up everyone by gender, race, age, income, politics, religion, education, taste, driving habits, assumed character, and team affiliation for consideration, critique, and cataloging. Worst of all, she turns her evaluating eye upon herself, seeing only that she is too chubby, too mousy, that she does not fit in the box she deems perfect. Behind the door with the rusting plate labeled 12 is hidden a boy. He's a lanky lad holding a shoebox of sundries he has collected in his explorations. Rocks with mica flex, shells, a Y-shaped stick, string, twist ties, empty spice jars, a railroad spike and such. He loves to make things with them and to invent games and to dream up stories. One day he looked in the box and no longer saw possibility and play. Embarrassed, he shoved the boy self and his junk into the dark little room and locked the door. Now, he reports to work every day and sits behind his computer in his cubicle. He always uses a GPS to go from point A to point B. He plays golf, but only for exercise and always by the rules. There are more residents of Athens self-storage, more selves who are locked away, humble, soft selves, true selves whose divine spark still shines brightly. I imagine they peek out the cracks in the weather stripping if they can, and yearn to run beside the dogs going to the vet, or to climb in the trees in the parking lot islands, or to dance to the baby boomer music piped in the grocery store. I wonder if they are capable of jealousy as they hear laughter outside the storage units and remember getting wet in the rain. Laughter and raindrops multiplying miraculously like so many loaves and fish, like so much joy and abundance known by the 5-talent and 2-talent slaves who doubled what they had. If they are jealous, I bet they pitch tantrums, beating on the walls, crying out to be heard. Listen to them. You and I pay top dollar for authenticity, authentic Colombian coffee, authentic designer pocketbooks, and yet we bury our authentic selves. It is so hard to risk living a wholehearted, undivided life. It is so hard not to worry about our image. So hard to climb out of our ruts. So hard to pay attention to desires hidden so long. We are afraid to be seen for who we are. We are afraid of being ridiculed or run over, afraid of getting it wrong. Like the money we hoard, our best parts we tie up and do not share. We miss the mystery before us at the breakfast table. We are drained because we are operating without our whole selves, having to work twice as hard. Jesus, we are not lazy, nor wicked. Prudent puts a good face on it, but truthfully, we are scared. We would rather be safe than sorry. But we know better. Our broker tells us no risk, no reward. Our fitness coach, no pain, no gain. Then there's your pithy two-liner, those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. I have an impish urge to spring the Athens selves from their cells, to fling open the creaky doors, to watch the young Lazaruses and let them loose on the world, to rip open the cardboard boxes marked gentle, trusting, giggly, untamed. But my imp is outvoted by my reason. I heard about one woman who summoned the courage to unlock her self-storage unit. She didn't do it until she was empty nested and retired, but at least she found the key. Inside, she discovered the young adult who wanted to join the Peace Corps and save the world, but who took the job at the bank and a walk down the aisle. She just got busy for 45 years, and time slipped by. She now knew the job of savior was already taken, but she could be a peacemaker and a compassion giver. And so she did just that, but with sensible shoes, not flip-flops this time. She signed up to mentor a kid. She bought the girl a storybook she had loved, a set of paints, and an electric blanket because her room was always chilly in the winter. Every week she was there. She paid attention. She listened. She let go of her preconceptions and cynicism that had seeped in over the years. When her mentee was late to sessions, she practiced forgiveness. She felt alive again. She even sang karaoke on a dare. She began to feel like herself. I read an arresting sentence in a book last week. It said, "The soul never stops calling us back to our birthright integrity." To what does your soul hearken? What self have you dug a hole for? What dream have you abandoned? Passion entombed? Birthright integrity forgotten? Where are the eyes of innocence you once had? Eyes that lack any filters and behold each person as simply another human being. Become a child, Jesus said. But we grown-ups want to play it safe. Athens self-storage, along with safe and sound mini-storage, mini-you storage, and a half dozen more vault vendors were all too happy to oblige us. We are that one talent slave handed a bag with an enormous sum in it, a gift so precious, we are terrified. So we make our way to 170 Security Circle and pay the price. Mary Oliver's question haunts me. Tell me, she asks, what is it you will do with your one wild and precious life? Pray do tell. Pray. Dear Lord, please, before the Master returns, deploy an angel or just make it a text or a tweet. You need only type 16 characters. Fear not, just trust. Amen.